I very much love that reading because in simply stating names, there are so many stories that we find between those names. Just to rattle off 10 names in a row, to hear of the exiles and the persecutions and the wars and the different realities that each of those persons faced and the whole storyline that is there. Little show and tell today. So for years, I've been pointing to this wall and imagining this to be there. What it depicts, my brothers and sisters, especially if you've never heard me talk about it, all of these people here with their candles, you see them all? They look very ghostly, do not they? Don't they? That's the intention. The understanding is that these are the people that we just read about in the gospel. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of their descendants. You see, they've been waiting. They've been waiting for generations and generations and generations for a Redeemer to come. Waiting for generations for the Word of God, the Son of God, to be made flesh, to enter into our humanity, and to bring with Him life. You see Joseph here presenting the baby Jesus, presenting Jesus on this eighth day when He will receive His name, Jesus, and He will be circumcised. He will enter into the covenant of Abraham as His skin is torn open. It will be the first shedding of His blood for the salvation of the world. They have been waiting, my brothers and sisters, generations and generations for this good news. And it is revealed to us today. I've been mentioning it for the last 4 weeks, the last 3 weeks during Advent. We keep having these readings where we talk about John the Baptist and we keep talking about John and the sandals and the sandal straps and not worthy to untie them. We look at the first reading today and we hear that Israel, God's people, has been thought of as barren, as desolate. And what God is preparing to do to enter into the life of His bride, His people, to bring with Him life where there was only death. You understand, in all of those generations, I don't know if you noticed, but their names kind of got a little changed after the Babylonian exile. Did you catch that? It went from kind of standard names all of a sudden to like Zerubbabel. You know, and Shealtiel. And it's like, wow, the Babylonians must have had an influence on them. But in all those generations, in all of those stories, in all of this prolonging of life, it was a prolonging of life only unto death. This was a monotonous reality of people being born and dying and born and dying, but being born into death. It required God, the source of all life, to enter into this death with His life and to redeem His people, Israel. All those generations. And see, the beauty of this is, you know, when we were asking for models, it was like, I want people from the parish. I need you. I need you as models. Come. I'm going to take your photos, dress you up, put you in there. We're going to use you for the models of these things. Why? Because you are the generations. You're the people who have come. But our generations, my brothers and sisters, are not unto death. Our generations are not unto death. In Jesus Christ, everything has changed. I will have no physical offspring. You understand that? My brothers and sisters, I have over in the rectory I have a stack of papers that's probably a foot high of my father's genealogy, my mother's genealogy. I have a lot more on my father's side than I do my mother's. It's a little easier to trace genealogy in Western Europe than it is Eastern Europe. But I literally have hundreds and hundreds of years worth of genealogy on my father's side. And in me, that all ends. I mean, I got brothers and they've had children and this and that. But that lineage, it ends. The physical lineage ends in me. Now, how is that even acceptable? Because Jesus has changed everything. My brothers and sisters, God has entered into our reality with His life. He has brought life where there was only death. And they awaited generations and generations and generations for their Redeemer to come. They will await Him again on another day similar to this, on the day in which He dies upon the cross and descends to the place, the abode of the dead, and there announces to them that He is their Christ, their Redeemer, God in their midst, Emmanuel, come to draw them forth from death into life. And they will be awaiting for Him on that day again. And on that day, the prophets who are there waiting will get up and they will bear witness to the Christ. And we will hear their stories. And Moses will speak of the creation of a whole world on that day. And there, in the light of Christ, they will be invited into faith. And the invitation into faith is an invitation into life. Praise be Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, that we are born in this time because we know a Redeemer in life. And our life is set free in Him. True and eternal, everlasting life is opened up for us. And this is the cool thing. We get to live life in the truth and in the promise of that life to come, which allows someone to choose celibate chastity for the kingdom of God without fear. Because I know that I will be alive in Jesus Christ. Everything changes today. God's plan is opened up for us and is made visible to us. I feel sorry for all the parents that had to work so hard to make Christmas special. You did a lot of work, but I'm going to tell you, Christmas is special by itself. The promise and the gift that is ours, that has come to us, is all that we need. It's all that we need. Amen.